Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room for this Thursday broadcast. We'll go directly out to your calls once again. I do want to just, wow. The average new hire was 42 years old in 2025. Yeah, everything is broken and sucks. From Time Magazine, just published this afternoon, Inside Trump's Search for a Way Out of the Iran War. They say when Donald Trump was in the Oval Office during the third week of the Iran war, when a group of his most trusted advisors came in to deliver some unwelcome news. His longtime pollster, Tony Fabrizio, had conducted surveys that indicated the war Trump launched was growing increasingly unpopular. Gas prices had surged past $4 per gallon, stock markets had tumbled to multi-year lows, and millions of Americans were preparing to take to the streets in protest. 13 American service members had been confirmed killed. Some of Trump's key public supporters were criticizing a conflict with no clear end in sight. It fell on White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and a small group of aides to tell the president that the longer the war dragged on, the more it would threaten public support and Republicans' prospects in November's midterm elections. For Trump, it says, the stark warning was unsettling. The president has begun many recent mornings watching video clips compiled by military officers of battlefield successes, according to senior administration officials. He also told advisors that being commander-in-chief, to eliminate the nuclear threat posed by Iran could be one of his signature achievements. But Wiles, according to two White House sources, was concerned aides were giving the president a rose-colored view of how the war was being perceived domestically, telling Trump what he wanted to hear instead of what he needed to hear. She urged colleagues, the officials say, to be more forthright with the boss about the political and economic risks. Okay, so just once again, our, you know, supposition, our observation is confirmed by inside sources, as if you needed people to tell you this. Which, again, people think we're stupid for being like, yeah, Trump is being tricked. He's being kept encased in a false reality. We had it from Joe Kent. We had it from people, you know, behind the scenes. People still want to, you know, act like it's not true. It's true, you guys. I mean, just you can not listen to us if you want, but like, we're always right. So you just listen to us. that's my argument. Okay, out to your phone calls. We'll get to as many as we can. Josh from South Dakota. Go ahead, Josh. You are on the airline 9. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. I've been hard on you in the last few months. I'm tired of the black pilling, and I know it's necessary to hold our leaders accountable. I was always a Ted Cruz guy, shamelessly before, but I got behind Trump, and I got behind him three times. I was a co-chair of the Republican committee in Lacapel County, Minnesota. I'm now a refugee of Minnesota, leaving the state, which is a lost cause, or South Dakota. And I've talked to legislators in the state and in Minnesota. I've been here my entire life, 48 years, and this is the last one. But what I'm concerned with is coming up this fall, and too much black pilling. Yes, we got to hold them accountable, but let's get some solutions. You know, I have so many friends that are boycotting 2026 election. They're like, screw it. What's the point? It doesn't get us anywhere. So they just want to stay home. And I try to convince them that that's the last thing we need to do. But when we have so many on the conservative side denigrating everything that's going on in the White House, I just want to say, look, what do we need to do? We need to join the No Kings movement. We need to impeach Trump. What is your solution to moving forward? Because right now, I don't know if you look into Project or Plan or Agenda 2028, whatever version it's called, but they're talking left-wing extremist revolution in May of 2028. And that's where this is headed. I've been talking about civil war, at least national divorce, for a couple of years, and I don't see any slowing down of that train. So I'm just wondering what your solution is, what we do next to keep this nation in place. Or, fine, national divorce. Let's carve it up and redo it, because I've seen a lot of stuff about what Trump's doing. That's where we're headed anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You know, there's a difference between blackpilling and delivering bad news, right? The news is bad these days because the Iran war is bad news, right? It's bad things are happening. So, you know, it's not blackpilling to just recognize that and to deal with it. The thing we have to try to do is recognize how bad things are, not let it blackpill us, right? Blackpilling to me is when you give up, is when you, like, actually give in to the, you know, depression that can come about when you, you know, think about how bad things are right now. The thing is, in the background of this is always the fact that we have pushed this conversation beyond anywhere I ever thought it would be. And I was talking about a little bit yesterday about prepping and how, like, it used to be under Obama, you know, everybody's solution was just like pack a bag, get storable food, and move to the woods. Like, that was the best possible case scenario. Trump coming out and being anti-globalist and being nationalistic and changing the conversation, I mean, that really has reinvigorated a lot of hope. It's that very hope that we're now losing because of the way that we've been betrayed on the Iran war. There's not an easy solution. The left is absolutely gearing up to be insanely tyrannical when they get back in. Almost every day I have a story or a clip of a Democrat who's promising this. They're saying once we're back in, it's Trump's family, it's Trump's supporters, we're coming after all of them, we're going to just open the border. I mean, they really are gearing up for, you know, total collapse. I don't have an answer necessarily. We did everything we were supposed to do. We got the right people in, and then we've been betrayed and screwed over at every pass. It sucks, but that's where we are. And it's not helpful or beneficial to pretend this isn't where we are, but it's also not helpful to black pill and think, okay, it's over. There's nothing we can do. Everything's crazy, man. Nobody knows anything, how anything's going to turn out. How many times before did we say how much better it was that Trump actually wasn't president in 2020? Now, that was on the assumption that his 2024 administration would be so much crazier and better, and it's been a little bit, but it's that type of thing where it's like, you know, you see them steal the election, you think, like, this is awful, what the hell, our country's been stolen from us. But then 4 years later, you're like, well, we would have had Mike Pence as vice president, it would have been, the impeachments would have kept going, like, maybe it was actually a good thing that we lost back then. You never know how things are going to turn out. So you don't ever black pill. I get very frustrated and sort of dismayed at how not very intelligent a lot of people are and how, you know, just ridiculous lies seem to spread like wildfire. It's all very frustrating. I'm never black pilled. And this might be because I've been in this space for a long time. But everybody's got to go through it. You got to dig yourself out. You got to just remember, like, and this is where the spirituality aspect of it all comes in, where you just go, as long as I'm doing my best, trying my hardest, as long as I am operating from a place of love, I'm not trying to be tricky, I'm not trying to be deceitful, then no matter what happens, I can be happy and fulfilled knowing that I gave it my all and I did my best. If I was instead trying to lie and trick people and everything was coming down on my head, I'd feel like it's my fault. It's like, as long as I know I'm doing my best, fighting as hard as I can, you know, sometimes you lose, sometimes it doesn't work out, but it's the only way to give yourself the best possible option and hopefully inspire other people around you. I'm not hopeless at all. I'm not black-pilled at all. I see this going any number of ways, some not so good, some better than not. The fact that we recognize where we're at and the sentiment that's being expressed right now on a very wide scale is so radically different than anything we've experienced before. That alone gives me hope. And just remember, at the end of the day, it's all about seizing the initiative and making them respond to you. And that's been the major sea change that's occurred with Trump, is that for the first time in our lives, they're not getting everything they want. They're not the ones absolutely dominating everything. In terms of the globalists manipulating America, they're having to respond to us a lot of times. And that in and of itself is key to reorganizing things into the future. So again, I know third parties are just are a pipe dream in America, but it's got to be something like that, right? It's got to be something like that, because the option of taking over the Republican Party and using it for good has sort of been proven at this point to not have worked. And in a way, I kind of blame Trump for that a little bit, because he has the and always had the social power to reorganize the Republican Party. He just didn't do it. He just didn't do it. He fell for the lies of the establishment. He thought, hey, I won, they'll come along with me. They see how popular this is for their own benefit. They'll come along. And so he endorses rhinos and swamp creatures when really he could have used his incredible popularity with the base to absolutely shatter like long held incumbencies. You know, he could have been the guy to go, hey, Lindsey Graham, I'm against him. Trump says no. Trump says vote against Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham would have been out whenever he, you know, was elected, 2018, 2016, whatever. Trump had the power to totally remake the Republican Party, and he just didn't do it. He didn't do it. And he hasn't provided, you know, a pathway for what we do after he's gone. And he's gone. He is gone. For all intents and purposes, Trump is not only not a future candidate, if it goes to the, if the midterms go to the Democrats, which it looks like it is, that's the end of his presidency. So it's not even a matter. It's not even how you feel about Trump. It's just a fact of reality. The Trump age is over and it's time to be looking into what's next. And Trump has not done anything to provide for that next generation. Certainly not now that he has saddled Marco Rubio or J.D. Vance with this war in Iran. That's basically cut them off the knees. So we do need something new. I don't know exactly what that is, but the opportunity is right now, and the time to strike is at this moment. So thank you for the call, Josh. Sorry about having to move away from your home state there. That sucks, but just don't be blackpilled. I don't know. I went through my blackpilling phase in like the early 2000s. So, you know, you got to get over it at a certain point and just recognize that like this is all just a thrilling combat that we're involved in. In all likelihood, most of us don't have the ability to unilaterally and as an individual change the course of human history. But you don't know that until you try. And so you might as well give it a try. And at the end of the day, you start from nothing and go back to nothing. So what have you got to lose? Nothing. That's what. Thanks so much for the call, Josh. Let's go to Timothy in Nebraska. Go ahead, Timothy. You're on the air.
Hello, Harrison. Do you hear me all right?
I hear you loud and clear, sir. Thanks for calling in.
That's awesome. There's a movie the actor who played Jason Bourne, it doesn't matter to me his name. He was in a movie where he was a janitor. He looked at a chalkboard. And,
Goodwill Hunting with Matt Damon, yes.
Damn straight. Thank you. Well, he solved it just by doing a little scribble here, a little scribble there, and then everyone was had like a, you know, a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
That's the equation. I said that so I can say this. We have a lot of factions in this world, and they all hate Christians.
Mm.
They seem to not like each other, like Jews and Muslims. They seem like they don't like each other, but they hate Christians.
True.
There are a few things about Zionism that seem Christian, but they're not. Like if you put a little piece of rat poop in a glass of water... It's not a glass of water. It's a glass of water with rat poop in it.
True.
That's Zionism. So the equation is nothing makes sense because a piece of the equation is gone. There's an integer that has just been erased.
Right.
Or duct tape over it. You pull the duct tape off of it, and that integer is kill all Christians.
Huh.
Then everything will make sense. The whole thing. Glyphosate yep. in our water, fluoride in our water, glyphosate on our food, that can be easily solved by just doing what the Amish do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the simplest thing is to do what the Amish do, but Monsanto, Bayer, Big Ag working together, they act like they don't like each other much, but, yeah, they work together to poison our food and make us stupid, sick, and weak.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I'll just say this: they hate Christianity because Christianity is Europe used to be called Christendom, right? Christianity is the operating system of Europe. It is basically the white religion, but Christianity in and of itself, and combined with sort of the historical disposition of Europeans, makes people hard to control. With Christianity, it can make people impossible to control if you're trying to control them for evil, right? Because it tells you there's something higher, there's a authority that you really need to be responsible to, not the earthly authority. So, you know, this is the classic, you know, your Christian martyrs, right, would rather die than you know, worship the pagan god under the Romans or the emperor in Japan. This is what makes Christianity dangerous to people who want control. So at the end of the day, the thing I'm trying to point out is, yes, Christianity is spiritually opposed to what these people believe and is, you know, hated for that reason in and of itself. But really, it all goes down to control. And if they can control you through Christianity, then they love it. That's why you have the promotion of evangelical Christianity in America today, because it's useful to control people. You can use them as a voting block to get what you want, to get the war in Iran or whatever else you want. Christianity, obviously, I believe in Christianity. I think it's the right religion and the true religion. But you can't overlook the way that the bad guys will incorporate, like take over that religion, pretend to be promoting it when really promoting the opposite. And they'll do the same with Judaism or with Islam. So, you know, it's Christianity is right and good, but it can also be perverted and corrupted as well. So we have to, you know, be on guard for that. But I do appreciate exactly what you're saying in terms of everything's so messy. You know, there's got to be something missing here. Hatred of Christianity and the destruction of white people, the destruction of the populations of people who both have the will, the character, and the ability, the intelligence and creativity to oppose and actually bring down the power structure. That's what the people in power's, you know, real concern is. And I could go on about that just really quick because I've been thinking about this for days and days and I haven't found a good time to talk about it, but it just fits exactly what he's saying. There's a fascinating thing in history where if you don't already know the inclusion of a certain sect or a certain idea in history, you can actually read history and it all makes total sense. Like the history of Texas. If you read the history of Texas, you can read textbooks and articles and not, you know, study the history of Texas for a long, long time, and you can think you have a totally full picture. And then as I'm studying Texas history, I'm seeing occasionally mentions of, yeah, where did they meet? They met in the Masonic Lodge. And it's like, okay, yeah, a lot of them were Masons. That's true. And then I'm like, well, how much was Masonry like actually involved? Like the idea of Masonry, how much did it have to do with the Texas Revolution? So then you search like Masonry, Texas Revolution, and it's like, oh, the whole thing was about Masonry. Actually, it was this big conflict between Masons and Catholics and Santa Anna. Part of his taking control and power in Mexico was because he wanted to crush the power of the Mexican Freemasons who were in. So what I'm saying is that you can look at history and think you have a full picture, but then if somebody introduces this other angle, it's like, oh, this was actually at the center of all of it the whole time, but you would never know because it's hidden, because it's secret, because it's not, you know, made the main topic of conversation. It can be hidden. Everything in history is like that. You can read about World War II or World War I or the Civil War and think you have a full picture, and then you can get one little insight and go, well, what if it was about that? What if it's all about destroying Christianity? And it's like, oh, that's what it's all about. Oh, actually, it's entirely about that, even though it's totally absent of the historical record, unless you actively go out and look for it. That reminds you of what you're talking about, where you can see this equation and go, I think something's missing. And it's this big glaring central node of the whole thing. Thanks for the call, Timothy. Let's go to Drew in California now. Drew, you are on the air from the great state of California. Go ahead.
All right. I just had a good idea. You guys are making a whole bunch of awesome T-shirts. Just wanted to throw this out first. Eagles, like the bird.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, not ill eagles.
Eagles, not illegals. That's good. I like it. That's a good pun. That'd look good on a shirt.
And then just plug in, same thing, methylene blue. I whacked my head and had a seizure. I whacked my head so bad just the other 2 months ago. Still recovering, but that methylene blue and that iodine works very well. I plugged before, and you guys did a commercial on me for the iodine. But anyway, that's very good. The Iran war, I'm very 50-50. There's a lot of good points put both ways if we didn't go in there or if we did go in there. And my family's debating about all this stuff, too. But at least we still eat dinner and everything together.
Absolutely.
And we don't have a problem, you know,
good.
And that's the difference. And the other side of our family, should I say, can't talk to them about nothing.
Wow, so, that's a bummer.
And then I just want to end by just saying, thank Jesus that we have him and to forgive us for all of our sins and everything we sin every day, even though we don't know it, or when you go to sleep and everything, you know. You just gotta, open that Bible every day, man.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for that.
I just want to say happy Easter, and thank you, InfoWars and everybody. I appreciate you guys very much.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sorry to hear about your injury. I hope you're recovering well, and I'm glad that some products can help you do that. A lot of Methylene Blue fans calling in today. Love to see it. Thank you so much for the call, Drew, and just couldn't agree more with everything that you say. And I don't know. It's more important that you have family than your family agrees with you on politics. That's my stance. So, you know, don't be the one to break your family up over politics. Yeah, let the leftists do that. Every family should be able to talk about this stuff or not. You know, it's fine. We always say, like, you need to be talking about this with everybody, but, like, you got to do it in the right way. You got to do it in the right way, and you got to do it in a way that maintains the familial closeness first and foremost. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Josh in Iowa. Go ahead, Josh. You're on the air. Hello, Josh. Josh in Iowa wants to ask me about my opinion of leaving the Trump movement, I see. You're on the air, Josh. Going once, going twice. Okay, let's go to Nathaniel. Nathan in Seattle. Go ahead, Nathan. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Harrison, man? I love your product, dude. The Methylene Blue is huge in my life. I appreciate you guys so much. I wanted to talk about, like, are we in a Bukele situation?
I wish.
You know what I mean? I think the table needs to get dumped. I think that the government is so lobbied that it's really beyond reflection at this point.
And you know what? That might be the most disappointing thing about Trump, because the whole thing about Trump was that he didn't need the lobbyist money. He ran in 2016 saying, I don't need the lobbyist money. We got him elected. Once you're president, you know, you're president, you have the power. Why has he become a slave to his donors? He never needed them. Once he got elected in 2016, like, he never needed another donor. The American people would have dished out whatever he needed, and he didn't even need that because he was so popular and beloved. So it's like, that's one of the things that makes the least amount of sense, is that now he's been captured by the donors when he never needed them. And the other frustrating, I mean, El Salvador is a completely different animal, obviously tiny country that could get away with this and not draw a ton of international attention while it was getting done. But Bukele showed the blueprint. It is possible to actually rescue a country, utterly and irrecognizably transform it from being the most murderous hell world crime capital of the world to, like, a beautiful, flourishing tourist hotspot in, like, less than 10 years because a powerful executive destroyed the judiciary corruption. That's what happened. And again, that's the disappointing thing about Trump, is it's like, oh, what do we need to do? Well, we need a Bukele-like figure. We thought that was Trump. And if he'd had the Bukele-like game plan and will to enforce what America needed, then we, like El Salvador, would be experiencing a renaissance right now. So again, it's just sort of another layer of frustration, seeing how it can be done, seeing it be done just south of us. And yeah, it's not been. Sorry for interrupting, but I just got excited because I think you're exactly right. Final thoughts, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, you know, the insolvency, I think, is engineered. I mean, this insolvency, it's like, you know, we were $10.6 trillion in debt with Obama. And that wasn't really that long ago, and we can all remember it. Yep. Now we're 31.1, and we've got, you know, corruption of the wazoo. And just think about if we just consolidated and brought everything back to America and gave it back to the people.
We would be more rich than you can even imagine. We would be living in a paradise. I mean, look at what China is able to do. They're not nearly as prosperous, as wealthy, or as good as America, but our goodness has been turned against us, and we have been destroyed from the inside out for now. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric? supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.